Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message, folks, is out of Mark 11. We're going to read from chapter 11, verse 22. And then we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3. So, just popping up there, thank you. Get out of here. There we go. 2 Timothy 3:16, Romans 8:28, Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. So we're going to move around a little bit, but I just want you to know, folks, that no matter what, we're going to get the message out today. God's good to us. I have some prayer requests, as always, but let's do this part this morning. Before we do, I have a song I want to play for you. Let me see where I'm at. Oh, here we go. It's On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. It's a quartet, so it only takes about a minute and a half. It'll give you a chance to find your place over in Mark. Thank you for being here. This morning, if it sounds like I'm stumbling a little bit, it's because I had seen some messages pop up on my server here. So I didn't know what was going on. I was trying to see that and concentrate on what I was trying to say. That's why I was stumbling. But this morning, folks, we have quite a few prayer requests, some from last week, but some new ones from this week. Heather Lee asked for some prayers for her son, Connor. He's got to have surgery. He's had a hernia. this a little guy. He's only... Oh, I don't know. Connor's probably 8 or 10 years old if he's that old. But, yeah, we're asking for prayer for little Connor. Darlene Cole's asking for continued prayer for her grandson who's going through a long recovery. Daniel Peidel has asked for some prayers for guidance by God to give him some strength to figure out the things that he's struggling with. Paul Del Pinto, he's from Ireland, asked for prayers for all of Europe because they're looking for a referendum unity. It's a lot of turmoil going on over in that side of the world, folks. At some point or another, the whole world's going to see this. And you know it because you see it every day. We see this, the protests. We see the fighting. We see all of these things. And it's all because people won't turn to God. So we're asking for prayers for Ireland. We're asking for prayers for Patty Winger, for her children. I know that they're not living right. She knows it. And pray for Patty as well for salvation. Marcia Reavers, cancer. Dottie Fennel, Robin Carville, Vaughn, Kimberly Whitner, Cindy Millen. Those are all unspokens from last week. Sandy Washer and the people that she remembered. Ruby with her dementia. Let's not forget her, Lord. Those things are important. Teresa's my wife. Teresa, her mom has depression, dementia as well. Richard P. for overall health issues. Stacy S. for overall health treatment options. She's been paralyzed. She's having financial issues. Hopefully things are starting to work out for her there financially. We know those things are a tough thing when you get sick. The insurance companies aren't there for us like they should be. neither are the hospitals or the doctors as compassionate. Milo, who was, they were talking about maybe doing surgery. Milo will not go for surgery, but he's going to suffer with herniated disc because of it. So please pray for him that he'd be able to work every day. He's a young man. He's got to provide for a family. Karen, who's battling cancer. Alice, her issues that she's dealing with, her health issues, just for plain old uplifting. And for Sandy, she's traveling. She'll be traveling back, I'm sure, today. She was at a woman's retreat. And for her pastor, for his cancer. And pray for the people that are doing the yard sale at Sandy's church coming up this following weekend. They're going to be having a church the purpose of the yard sale is to make the money for their youth church for a, what do they call it, where they do it on over vacation time, vacation Bible study. That's what I was trying to think of. My mind was going a blank there. And then pray for our family members, for all of them. No matter which ones they are, we should be praying for them all the time so that we can learn to get along because there's a lot of strife within family. The Bible says at the end times, we're going to have brother against sister, sister against brother, mother against father, father against mother, and then children against their parents. And this is what we're seeing in the world today. Pray for the service members. Someone asked me to pray for all of our people that are in the military because of what has to go on there. So, Father, we just ask for all those prayers and pray for the people that are in the residential care unit that I have to go witness to today and preach to them. And thank you for the strength to be able to do that. Thank you, Father, for all that you provide for us. We just thank you for everything you do. I don't want to forget there's one other prayer request. Dorothy has to go. Dorothy Meyer has to go for a CAT scan this coming week, so pray for her as well. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers, and God bless you. Thank you for letting us be here in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, this morning's message is one that I picked, that I actually took from another one of my, what do you want to call it, the messages that I post on a daily basis. That's what I'm thinking of. This morning I'm stumbling, and believe me, I'm trying to figure out why. It's not, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm lost here in some places, but it's on faith to God. You know, we either have faith in God or we don't. And in order to have faith in God, the title of the message is Faith in God Means You Trust Him. We have to be able to trust God. You know, faith isn't an easy thing, especially if you're a non-Christian, because you're not used to trusting things you cannot touch, feel, see, or have part of our senses have hold of. Okay? That's the hardest part for us as people. If we can't see it, we don't believe it. If somebody tells us something, we don't necessarily believe it. We take their word for it, which again, in a way, is trusting and having faith that they're telling us the truth. But when we look to God as non-believers, most people will say, if there's a God. They don't say, I know there's a God. They don't say, I trust God. They just go, if there's a God. And there's all the other things that follow, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I want you to understand something. The Bible will tell us that there is a God. The Bible will tell us Jesus is real. The only way you ever get to know that is by picking your Bible up and reading it and go and cross-reference one verse to the next, and before you know it, the Holy Spirit's working in you. He's guiding you. He's strengthening you. And then you know, there's no more question. You know you have faith in God because he's real, because he is there. And the availability that he gives us to know all that is right there in Scripture. So let's look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22, where it says this. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Father, thank you for letting us see that verse for what it's worth. It said, Jesus, to trust God. Faith means to trust God. Now, I'm going to show you what it means and the word faith. Faith is this. It says, I copied this out of Merriam Dictionary. Let's see if I can go back and find it. Here it is. I don't want to forget because I want to read this to you, folks. There's a purpose I do. Some of these times you'll see me do things here where I'll say, you need to know this, right? And I want you to have it for information purposes. Because how can you trust a God if you don't know what it means to have faith or what it means to have trust? Merriam Dictionary reads like this. Come on, get up here. Faith. I typed in the word faith. It says allegiance to duty or a person. Loyalty. Lost faith in the company's president. See, they don't have faith in the company's president. Fidelity to one's promises. Sincerity of intentions acted in good faith. Now, we go down, here's a second reason or an explanation. Belief and trust in a loyalty to God. Belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. You see, even the dictionary knows to have faith, it goes back to God. Firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Now, pay attention because this gets confusing. It says, for which there is no proof, clinging to the faith that her missing son would one day return. You see, she was clinging to the proof, even though there is none. She doesn't know that he's going to return. But it says, clinging to the faith that her missing son would one day return. And then it says, the second part of that is complete trust. Complete trust that he'll return. You see, they turn it right back around. There is proof in the scriptures. If we're willing to look at them, if we're willing to go and find it, then this one goes down even further. It says in the third explanation, something that is believed especially with strong conviction, especially a system of religious belief. It says the Protestant faith, but I'll tell you what, Baptists have a lot of faith, and that has nothing to do with Protestants. Without question, took everything he said on faith. Now, you have to take everything that the Lord says in the Bible on faith. If your Bible's like mine, it has red letters in it, right? Some of the writing is black, some of it's red. The red is Jesus talking. This is not God-inspired. This is not some man's writing. These are the actual words that they found that Jesus spoke. Now, I have faith those words are the truth. And he says here, he says in verse 11, 22 of chapter 11, have faith in God. If you go down further, it says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he shall saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, that means this. You have to have faith in God that when you come through all these turmoils and trials and tribulations of your life, that sometimes we're going to face, that God says, listen, if you have faith in me and ask me to take them away so that you can have peace in your life, you will. Those things that we prayed about, right? Now, some people are going to die from cancer. There's no doubt about it. The cancer's not going to go away. Some people are going to die in bad accidents. That's not going to stop. That's going to happen. But the faith that we have is that we go home to be with the Lord, hence rest in peace. Hence, let God take care of them from here on out. That's why we have celebrations of life when a person dies. Because we know they're not going in the ground, that body of theirs may, but they're going home to be with the Lord. There's our faith. There's real faith. Now, I want to get back on track because I don't want to lose my message, but I want you to understand something. You either have faith or you don't. And a lot of people won't, they just don't want to hear it. But from the message that I brought you, I'm going to read the things that I wrote down. This comes from Spurgeon, okay? It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Faith is the foot of the soul by which it can march along the road of the commandment. Love can make the feet move more swiftly, but faith is the foot which carries the soul. Faith is the oil enabling the wheels of holy devotion. I lost my spot. And of earnest piety to move well, and without faith the wheels are taken from the chariot, and we drag heavily With faith I can do all things. Without faith I shall never have the inclination nor the power to do anything in the service of God. If you would find the men who serve God the best, you must look for the men of the most faith. Little faith will save a man, but little faith cannot do great things for God. Poor little faith could not have fought Apollyon. It needed Christian to do that. This here comes from Pilgrim's Progress, in case you don't know what I'm talking about when I say poor little faith and Apollyon. that comes from books by Bunyan, the Bunyan Ministries. They wrote a book, and part of it's about Poor Little Faith and how he fought Apollo. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you read those Pilgrim's Progresses, it has to do with our faith. It has to do with us trusting in God. It has to do with our life as a whole, as a Christian, someone who has faith that they're going to go to heaven, has faith that they trust in Jesus Christ, and they believe God. Poor Little Faith could not have slain Giant Despair. It required great hearts. It required great hearts. These are characters in the book. The arm to knock that monster down. Little Faith will go to heaven, most certainly. But it often has to hide itself in a nutshell, and it frequently loses all but its jewels. Little Faith says, "It is a rough road, beset with sharp thorns and full of dangers. I am afraid to go, but great faith remembers the promise. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and thy days shall be strength. And so shall boldly venture. Little faith stands desponding, mingling her tears with the flood. But great faith sings, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And she fords the stream at once. Would you be comfortable and happy? Would you enjoy religion? Would you have the religion of cheerfulness and not that gloom? Then have faith in God. If you love darkness and are satisfied to dwell in the gloom and misery, then be content with little faith. But if you love the sunshine and would sing songs of rejoice, covet earnestly these best gifts, great faith." Great faith is something we could all have. If we trust God, if we just do as he asks, just say, "Listen, I know I have doubts. There's no doubt. I'm no different." If you look at this morning's messages that I posted over on William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook, you'll find that all Christians go through dark times. Don't let anybody ever tell you that a Christian walks on cloud pink all the time, because it doesn't happen. Everyone stumbles. Everyone falls. Everyone has doubt. Everyone falls. But that's because God is using those times to strengthen us to have patience to trust God. That's our faith, to trust God. Now, the scriptures teach us this. Over in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, let's turn there real quick. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That's all there for a reason. Scripture is there to teach us. It's to correct us. It's to show us what's wrong. It's to show us what's right. It's to teach us how to live. It's how to be profitable and how to live a good, profitable life. It's not about possessions and money, folks. It's about being at peace, having contentment, having faith that God will take care of us as he said he would. All scripture is by inspiration. It's all profitable. It's going to correct us. It will help us learn to trust the Lord and the work that he does in us and through us. That means we put aside our own doubts and our own fears and just believe that all things are of God. Now look at Romans 8:28, because that's another one. In Romans 8:28, if you turn to Romans 8:28, it says this: "And we have faith." But it doesn't say we have. You see, I poked that in there. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." According to his purpose, I put in there, have faith. And you know why I put that in there? "And we have faith because we know." We know that God says all things work together for good to them that love God. Either you love God or you don't. If you love God, then you have faith in God. And then it says, it goes on to say, "to them who are the called." That means you who are listening to the word right now, you've been called by God to hear my voice, to hear the word. And it says in the Bible, it says, "all my sheep hear my voice." So listen, you may be hearing my voice, but God's using me to share his scriptures. And he just said to you, have faith in him through me to you so that you can understand this. That's what this is about, folks. And then my last part here, I have in Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 6, and we're going to go there because it's important, or I wouldn't waste my time trying to share this stuff with you. God does not fool around. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. And if we would just let him work in us, if you would allow the Lord to work in your heart and change you, you'd start to have more and more faith. You'd start to see that, yes, God is real. He's walking with me all the time. He never left me. You know, the Bible tells us he doesn't leave us. In 11, it says this, in verses 1 through 6 I have written down. So in 11, 1 through 6 of Hebrews, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God said these things, and he wasn't kidding. God testifying on his gifts, and by it he, being dead yet, speaketh. You see, what he said was here, even though the Lord's dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, or he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible. Pay attention, folks. It's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. See that? You have to believe that God is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is trusting God that he'll reward us if we diligently seek him. If you're not going to be a Christian, don't expect God to take care of you. You want to live for this world and you want to go live as the world, don't expect God to watch over you. God watches over those that hear his voice. God watches over those that come to him. He's calling you. He's saying, have faith in me and trust me. Now, you can do that, or you can continue on your way in life. But you can't expect God to want to reward you when you serve a wrong God. You don't serve him. You're not one of his children. So why should he make life happy for you? If that's the case, go ask your God, the one that you're following. Let them make you happy. And while you're miserable and you're unhappy and you're sick and you're calling out to the God of heaven and he's not answering you, you have no reward to you. That's what it says. It says here. It says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's why I tell you, you got to have faith, folks. You can either do this or not, but one way or another, you're going to answer for that, and you won't get any rewards. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he that is a rewarder of them. Those things are said for a reason. True faith is trusting every word of doctrine as God inspired. That means if you don't trust this Bible, if you don't follow after it, if you don't believe the words that are written in here, how can you expect a God in heaven to reward you? How can you expect to have faith in that God? I've had people say to me, a man wrote that book. Well, a man may have written this book, but the words are inspired by God. And I don't care what publisher you're talking about. God chose to use that book to reach to your heart to get you to serve him, the God in heaven. The Lord said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He meant that. He means it now. He meant it back then. True faith is trust in every word. Isaiah 43 tells us who the Lord is. It also tells us what he'll do for his believers. So if you want, go look at Isaiah 43. I didn't go there because I knew I wouldn't have time for it today. All we have to do is have faith. It says, my sheep hear my voice. Whose voice are you listening to? If you're listening to a false god, if you're listening to worldly people, then that's what you're going to have for a life. You're going to have a worldly life. You're going to have ungodly people in your life. You're going to have people that disrespect you, treat you miserable. Don't get me wrong. there are Christians in the world that do bad things. I've been around someone, just came to mind. God, I hope he's changed. Because he was crooked as could be. But yet he was part of the church. And the church knew it, and they kept working with him. And they kept trying and trying. And you know why they do that? Because just like all of us, we're sinners. Just like all of us, we deserve that chance that someone will have trust and faith in us and say, you know what? He's going to change. He's coming around. And that's what was told to me when I thought about that. Man, I went to the pastor and talked to him. He goes, yeah, I know all about that. I have to talk to him. He said, we're working on him. We're working to get him right. And that's what we have to do. We have to take and trust God to use us to reach out to others. Even though they're walking on the wrong side of the road, even though they're going down the wrong path, we still have to be there and try to help them. And that's what I try to do by sharing the gospel. I try to reach souls for Christ. I try to do what the Bible tells me to do, which is preach the gospel. Even when they're not living right for the Lord, still share the gospel with them. Because Jesus loves you. And he doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. So I'm asking you today, if you're a believer, if you're hearing my voice, which is truly God speaking through me to speak to you, I'm just the vessel. I'm just pouring the water on the plants, folks, so you'll grow. God's talking to your heart. He wants you to get right with him. He wants you to turn your life around and start serving the Lord. He wants you to know that you're going to heaven. He wants you to have faith in Jesus Christ. He wants you to have faith that God is real and that that Bible that you have was meant for you, that you would find the words written in there so that you would change your life and start serving him. Thank you for letting me share that with you today. God bless you. I have another song for you. Let's see if I can find it. It's called I Need Thee Every Hour. It's about it's about a minute and 49 seconds. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Hear this, and I'll be right back. Thank you for being here. I hope you'll come to the Lord. I hope you'll come around. I hope you'll listen more often. My prayer is that you'll pay attention. You'll hear the words. They'll touch your heart, not just from me, but from the scriptures, that you'll use your Bible. It won't just be some book sitting around the house. You know, it does no good to have a book if you don't open it. It does no good to have it and not read it. The Lord's good to us. He gave us that book for a guidance record. Just like my friend Daniel said, you know, he's looking for strength and he wants guidance from the Lord. It's in the Bible. It's hard sometimes to find because at the moment God doesn't have that plan for you. He wants you to have faith in him and have patience to let him work those issues out. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. And I thank you for being here, and we'll be back again next Sunday. Have a good day. God bless you.